occult technology.
When he's drugging three dimensions, that Captain Wilfred Moss is using these brain cells.
Hi, welcome to Nutshell Online. I'm your host, Dave Noel. Joining me today is Tony Shin and Jason Allward. I understand we have an exciting show of science and frivolity lined up for you guys, so stick around and we'll get into it. Did you want to get into the antimatter riff? Or?
Yeah, sure. Well, no, because...
Not just read one thing about antimatter.
Fine. Okay, let me do the medical one, because I found that... I mean, it doesn't go into great detail, but it's kind of cool. On the website, you can go and check out this link. It's from discovery.com. It basically goes through a list of top 10 things you didn't know about antimatter. I'll just pick this one out because I'm interested in medical technology and the advancements. So let me read what it says. It's not a stretch to envision a future where antimatter starts at speed through the galaxy or antimatter weapons reduce whole nations to dust. But you might just be surprised to learn that just as atomic energy is used to produce X-rays and fight cancer, antimatter is also chock full of medical benefits. For instance, we regularly use low electron positron annihilations to perform positron emission tomography, PET scans.
PET scans!
Thank you, Dave.
I understand those machines are pretty heavy.
Yes.
So it'd be the heavy PET scan.
Oh.
Heavy petting scan.
Doctors inject the patient with radioactive fluid, which adds atoms in it and gives off of positrons. This antimatter then collides with electrons to produce gamma rays, which are then converted into photons. Special digital camera sensors pick up the photons and amplify the signal to produce a digital image of what's going on inside living tissues. Yeah. Anyway, check out the rest of them at the link on Nutshell Online.
Yeah, Discovery Channel. It's a pretty good source for all things edutainment.
Yes.
Edutainment.
Yeah, it may not be 100% accurate all the time, but they do their best. They're good people.
They're okay. You won a TV from them.
I did win a TV from them. I won the Mindbender.
You actually got it?
Yeah, yeah.
And this isn't for sponsorship. But
No. Daily Planet's pretty cool.
Doesn't hurt.
Good old Jay Ingram.
Yes. He always has the amazingly beautiful co-host, though.
That's right.
They didn't have one before. That Australian wasn't too
You got a problem with Natasha Stillwell?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I liked her.
Yeah,
really?
She kind of like that statuesque model.
Yeah, statuesque. Sort of. That's right. She had that mouth like a torn slipper, man. Natasha Stillwell, if you can hear us. We're very sorry, and we think you're hot.
Indeed.
We're just funny. Okay, so anyway, who wants to go first with the articles? Jay, what's your dealie?
Well, I focused in on battery technology used for automobiles in society today. And I guess we could delve into the plausibility of using these technologies now and also look into... what's coming down the pipeline. Battery technology is great now, and Prius and a lot of media is basically talking it up, but is that the definitive technology that we're going to use to get around? Obviously, it's going to be very difficult to replace oil technology or oil. Human civilization has progressed insanely in the last 200 years because of fossil fuels. How do you just replace something like that overnight, with possibly a battery? I mean, there are technologies coming down the pipe that could deal with solar, could deal with water, could deal with hydrogen, and could deal with all those things. So
yeah, the infrastructure that's set up in this world is set up for fossil fuels.
Well, yeah, that's just it. And, we've had, 100 years of gasoline-powered cars? I mean,
yeah. You can't get rid of gas stations that easy.
We did start out with electric cars, which is the funny thing.
Yeah, and like right after the Stanley Steamer or whatever, ended up with the,
And it boggles the mind as to where we might be if we had kept up with that. Although we could have been filled with like a ton of lead acid batteries.
Well, yeah, exactly. But... batteries at the time, they were using, mercury and, all sorts of really nasty... cadmium, really, really nasty, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to do Rechargeable and, batteries of any kind, you know, were back in the day horrible.
And the technology just didn't really exist back then.
Yeah,
exactly.
But so. A couple of technologies that they're using now, nickel metal hydrate, lithium ion, lithium iron phosphate. But the technologies are pretty much the same in all of them in that...
Yeah, you're just using...
Basically...
It's the electrolyte anode cathode thing. And
yeah, the memory basically makes it go... Makes the substances go back together. They recharge the particles and combine again. And then you get to use the battery again, and you drain those, and then basically you keep recharging. But... that technology only goes so long. It only goes like, you know, 1,000 charges maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that, in fact.
I don't know. MIT's been looking at a bunch of really cool stuff lately with the... Yeah. They're like the first thing I read, I guess, 2 years ago, they were working on the supercapacitor that was based on carbon nanotubes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool because... I was just sort of looking into reiterative math algorithms or whatever at the time. Of course, I was, and I was, you know, you can increase the surface area of anything just by making you know, filaments and stuff smaller, right? So one of the major drawbacks to using capacitors as batteries is they can't really store that much energy because what you're dealing with is like just a flat surface that you're basically spreading electrons onto.
Yeah.
Okay. So what they did was they started using carbon nanotubes and basically making the flat surfaces that they're putting stuff onto fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that makes the surface area that the electrons cling to almost infinitely larger because
flat.
Yeah, like if you take a cardboard box, you have the flat bit, and then the stuff in between the corrugated cardboard. If you actually, you know, flatten that out, it would be much larger than the containing sandwich cardboards.
Yeah,
right. So it's very much kind of the same thing, except with nanotubes, you're able to squeeze a lot more surface area onto, you know, a relatively similar size, so you could store, like, you know, hundreds or thousands of times more energy than a normal capacitor, which is really cool, and means that you could recharge it in a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm. Is this like actual in production, or is it just theory? Or...
No, they have some working prototypes, but anytime you start using carbon nanotubes for anything, the price goes through the roof because there's no. Major commercial grade suppliers for nanotubes. It's still very.
From what I understand, all these discoveries that you see on the internet and all that, they're very hard to mass produce because there's actually.
Well, there's no infrastructure for it.
Yeah, there's no infrastructure, and you have to find cheap materials and easily produced in a factory with existing technology.
Well, I don't know. You can't get cheaper than carbon, though. I mean, that's that, you know, burn anything, and then, you know, but where they get the nanotubes from, I'm not really sure about the process. I think it has to be, you know, produced under certain plasma. It's certain plasma conditions under, you know, very certain like temperatures and stuff, and the temperatures can't go beyond a certain thing, otherwise you'll end up with bucky balls and stuff, bucky tubes, and it's just crazy, you know.
Yeah.
You also have to watch out for static electricity and whatnot while you're doing it. You know, the control factors for making nanotubes is just ridiculous, even though you can find it in normal soot.
Yeah.
You know, but in order to manufacture it reliably, you know,
it's a whole different story.
It's a whole different story.
See, the thing is, I mean, whether it be cars or anything else, the technology we're going to have to come up with has to equal oil.
Yes.
Equal or greater than oil.
Cheaper.
And there is only one thing that does that, and it's the sun.
Yeah.
Well, the technology that they're working on, like current solar panels, just do not do it because it's actually one dimension, or it's basically flat surface. It only gets from a certain angle, and the efficiency is not very good. Especially. What they are working on are sort of like what you were saying with the fluffy thing, sort of basically solar capacitors that can take sun from various angles, which increases the efficiency.
Yeah.
Now, if we can get this into like... say like a paint substance or a liquid substance,
yeah, that'd be good.
Every day,
in which we could form it to whatever object we're putting it on, like a car,
then, or a roof,
or whatever.
Maybe, think, you know, that'd be kind of cool. I could charge my iPod just by putting it on the table and turning on the lights.
Exactly. Think of the possibility in that. What the problem with the car manufacturers now is like oh, you got to do, you know, fuel cells. Oh, you got to do batteries. Well, why not work towards an open source standard, which, I mean, you can't get a much more open source than the sun.
Yeah.
And work on that technology, which is going to be really the only thing that's going to replace oil.
Yes.
I mean, oil, basically.
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, if you look at the sort of the life cycle of energy, what I've heard oil referred to as stored solar energy.
It is.
You know, because it was plants and animals, right? It started out as plants, and then animals ate it, and then, you know, they died. They died in the ground, and, you know, they're complex molecules that were created from, ultimately, from the original source, which was photosynthesis, stay that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once they ferment and fossilize and do all the things that, you know, fossil fuels do, you pull it out, you know, millions of years later, and you have all of the benefit of all the energy that the sun, you know, did to the earth. The
problem is we're burning all that in such a small amount of time, and what would take, like, you know, hundreds and thousands of years to go through.
Yeah, to go through the natural cycle.
Yeah, cycle. We're doing it all in 200 years, which is... Yeah.
Another aspect with solar energy is storing the solar energy, like, into batteries, because, you know, you can't have solar energy at nighttime or on cloudy days, so there needs to be a way when it is sunny to store the energy. So that's the technology batteries.
But this efficiency technology that they're working on...
Yeah.
Could probably work in overcast conditions, not to the effect that a sunny day would do, but it would work. Now, we do need to store some of that for emergency uses and stuff like that. But
I don't know that you're also only focusing on like one renewable resource, which is, you know, you can grab the energy from our environment so many different ways.
Sure.
And it's actually windmill technology is really cool now, because they've gotten it to a point where you only need like a 5 kilometer an hour wind in order to drive these huge turbines, just based on the shape of their blades. You know, so I don't know. I think we're well on the road to getting.
I wonder how much that windmill produces in Toronto there that we see on the garden.
The big one by Dufferin there?
It's not that much. I don't think it's only...
That powers a house.
That power a couple of buildings.
Is it really?
I don't know. I heard that a windmill that size can power up to 20,000 homes.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Okay. But I mean... Yeah, those are stats that I heard back in the 90s. So I don't know how much credence it leads to, but you know, I think definitely it could.
See, my fear is this is the conspiracy aspect of it all. Is why are we focusing so much on battery technology? Is it basically the companies, the energy companies, or companies in general trying to make a buck off of something? Because obviously, if you create a solar paste, if you will, like we were talking about. And obviously, it'd be hard to charge for something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if it's free energy.
Are they basically slowing the progress down just to basically get some bucks out of
You know what? I think it's just not possible scientifically right now to do all that.
Yeah, I mean, they do have solar-powered cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
but as it's not mass manufacturable or whatever.
Well, you can make it out of parts that you find, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's... You know, it's essentially a great big shell made of solar panels, and you know, it's got bicycle parts powering it, right?
Yeah, to the standard, to a normal car.
It's not as safe. It's not as easy to ride. It's, you know, a big pain in the ass trying to figure out. You need an electrical engineering degree if anything goes wrong, because, you know, a mechanic's going to take one look at this thing and say, "Get out of here," you know. So there's a lot of drawbacks to actually having a solar powered vehicle, but. I think battery technology, I don't know if it is a conspiracy thing, because I mean, even with gas tanks, it's you want to have a place where you can store your energy and take it with you.
Yeah.
Right. It's always been a real challenge to sort of generate it on the fly and on the go. So I think having a way to store it more efficiently is probably, you know, a better way to go.
And the best way to do it at this time is lithium type batteries. And I just read recently, actually, lithium is in short supply on the earth. Like, it's not made in many places. There's only, like, I believe I heard that 30% of the world's lithium supply comes from Chile, 10% comes from China, and 50% comes from Bolivia in South America.
Yeah.
And they're like a poor third world country. All the battery technology companies are trying to cut deal with the government. But the government, I think, is communist, if I'm not mistaken. So they're very...
Well, South American anyway.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they're... communist, but they're very careful on the the natural resources of lithium, because I think it's made from salts, if I'm not mistaken.
From a political aspect, I look at this bailout package down the States, and it kind of frustrates me in that only, I think it was like $2 billion that was set aside for new energy production. And just to think that if, I mean, obviously...
Yeah, they
if,
put more in the space program, for God's sakes.
Yeah, if Obama took basically what they spent on the Iraqi war over the last, you know, 8-9 years, think about how much further, I mean...
Absolutely, battery technology, I totally agree with that.
I mean, we could be, like, we wouldn't have to be dependent on foreign oil at all anymore.
Let's not be all angry at the U.S. I mean,
I'm not saying...
Well, no.
I'm not saying they're the be-all and end-all, but all I'm saying is... Not only the U.S., but if Canada basically took, you know, a huge chunk of money and put it into research, into creating this stuff. Like
or even if Germany actually got into the game and stopped making sham wows and actually made some... some real progress on, you know, the battery front.
But there's actually a car company in Quebec called Zen Automobile. Z-E-N-N. It's actually in the show notes. But they produce a car. I think it's low-distance car. But... You can barely buy it in Canada. I think it's only available in BC. I think BC is the only one. Basically,
which is funny because it's manufactured in Quebec.
Yeah. Yeah, but the federal government they've been dragging their heels on this thing. And actually, one of the biggest customers of Zen is California, of all places.
California.
Exactly.
California. Yes.
So
it's because of their clean air policies.
Yeah,
there,
the strict policies. But what boggles me is like all of this political backlog and red tape and not passing this stuff. It
doesn't make sense. You know. Yeah, I completely agree. We have all this money. Why aren't we dumping it?
It's actually an economic boom if you actually push this stuff through.
Oh, for sure.
It's complete.
Well,
new industries. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, think of all the people that you can employ and, you know, train and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Super, super cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, we could go in for days and days.
That's politics. I think we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old politics.
Yes.
So my latest thing is water, the miracle liquid.
I was reading a bit about this.
Yeah.
Talk about fifth dimension.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the video came out in 2001, I think, this water video. And they're still plugging it, like, hardcore. I put a couple of links to it in my article. Basically, the whole idea is homeopathy, water having memory. And, you know, they're trying to base it on science. The scientific principles that they're basing it on are kind of true. In water, you have hydrogen and oxygen, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And the molecules that are created are actually, they do have a positive and negative side. Okay, just the way, you know, if you look at a water molecule, it looks kind of like a Mickey Mouse, you know, with the two hydrogens, the ears, and the head.
Yeah.
Okay, and so basically, whenever you have water and you you dump a solvent into it or, of some sort, you know, the water kind of forms around the solvent, and that's what allows you to dissolve things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
It breaks the particle down into, like, you know, individual atoms or whatever, and forms these little clusters of water molecules around your your soluble whatever
it is.
Okay, and creates what's called weak hydrogen bonds. And basically, it's not a chemical reaction because you can actually have this stuff come out of solution, you know, by adding another solution to it or just by drying out the water. So it doesn't actually change
the structure of other things.
Yeah, the molecular structure of what you're diluting in the water. It's just, you know, so what they're saying is these weak hydrogen bonds can actually exist even if you dilute the water down to, you know, absolutely nothing. This is the principle of homeopathy, right?
Yeah.
So if you have like one part per billion or whatever of like salt, let's say, or silica or whatever, something, not silica, but something that dissolves in water, it'll... the rest of the water surrounding, you know, this little particle of nothing,
mm-hmm.
will actually take on the properties of like a fully dissolved system that has, you know, much more of the shit in it. So so that's the problem, because I mean the whole thing with homeopathy is, you know, I'll give you something that has absolutely no ingredients but water, and it'll make you better because water has memory, mystical memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what they say. What this thing is, this this water movie slash experiment put on by this guy named Emoto Masuro. I'm assuming, you know, Masuro is his first name. I'll just call him Emo. good old Emo came up with this idea that you can affect water and the structure of it based on emotions, right? And that human emotion is one of the only things in the universe that'll actually change water on a molecular level. And it's like, what exactly are you talking about, dude? You know, so he put together a bunch of experiments that are all half-assed and lazy, and it has like test groups of like one, and it's really kind of funny because in the photography and the cinematography and the post-production in this video are really friggin' awesome. I mean, it looks like a Nova special. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just beautifully done, and it has like, yes, water. Oh, I'm a new age kind of guy with a gravelly voice, so you must believe everything I say because I seem pensive. And it's just retarded.
Where do I buy this?
You know, like, exactly. It's like, yeah, now I have an erection over snowflakes. Where can I please, you know, smack my saltpeter? So anyway. Anyway, so basically, this guy, you know, sets up this experiment where he puts a beaker of water in front of a group of people, and he gets them to project negative or positive emotions on it, and then he flash freezes the water, like, you know, just a drop of water, and takes a photograph of it. Okay, and when you take a photograph of it, supposedly love is like really happy, beautiful little crystalline snowflake that looks perfect, and you know,
positively charges the water.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what they claim is it increases the energy level of the water. And
now,
okay, no, this is a direct quote. It increases the energy level of the water and stabilizes it.
Wow.
Okay, I'm like, okay, so
isn't water already stable?
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. You don't look at water and it doesn't shoot up into the sky or like blind you, or it doesn't lash out at toddlers. You know, it's like, even if you get angry around water, like, it doesn't do weird stuff.
If
you know?
You're pissed, you could change the molecular structure of water.
Yeah, and since, well,
amazing.
No. And they take it a little further and they say, and since you're 70% water, you know, your emotions, you know, directly affect blah 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 the homeopathy.
The water
of your
is
body.
The force. It's
okay.
The
well,
Star
no.
Wars
okay.
Force.
Well, here's the Star Nose Force.
The Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Marvin, the Star Nose Force. okay, so when they took the photos and stuff, they said, all right, now someone said, I love you to this water. Someone said, thank you to this one. And, you know, the crystals are getting, you know, they're changing shapes, mm-hmm. and it's all kind of stuff. And it's like, and this one says, you disgust me. And it's like this horrible, blobby little, you know, it doesn't even look like, it's not crystalline anymore. It's melted, right? You can tell immediately that it's, what the hell happened to this? You know, is it frozen? It doesn't look frozen. It looks melted. So it looks like the person had like a bunch of you know, little water ice crystals next to him on his hot desk, and took the love one and the thank you ones, took those photos first, and then the other ones were left to melt, and then, you know, you take photos of that. Like,
and
it doesn't
say he's manipulated the Photoshop.
Yeah, okay, so what's the trick though? Like, why does it look like that? Or
it looks like that because his experiment is sloppy. Picking it up, if it's a glass plate or whatever, you know, a thin glass, you know, depending on what substrate the water is on, picking it up, even the heat from your hand can melt it, like a single snowflake. Takes no time at all to melt in your hand, right? So even just transferring it from the freezer to the microscope with the huge bright light underneath it, you know, so you can take a photo of this crystal, could melt the water.
So he's just getting the in-between processes from like solid ice to water.
Well, basically. No, he flash freezes it, and he's claiming that the crystals look pretty when they're positively charged, and, you know, they don't look like anything that you'd want to touch if they, you know.
Is there like scientific claim? Like, did someone do a study, like a third party, to look at the stuff?
Okay, well, that's the funny thing, right? Okay, so he's claiming these really fantastical claims, you know, that he's found the source of life, right?
Yeah.
He's found it in the energy levels and the life energy of water.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, that's complete bunk, all right? Yeah. How do you measure life energy? Like, what's the... Okay, so electrical energy, you have a number of different things.
Metachlorian.
Well, no, you have, you know, with electrical energy, you have watts, you have volts, you have, you know, freaking amps, you have, you know, microfarads, you know, you have, like, a bunch of stuff that you can measure electrical energy with. What do you measure life energy with? I was asking Awaken about this.
It's a very subjective term, I think.
Exactly. I asked Awaken, I'm like, you know, how do you measure life energy? And she's like, it's immeasurable. And I'm like, then how do you know it exists? Yeah. If you cannot measure it, if you can't measure it or the effect it has on anything directly, then how do you know it exists? It stop using that word.
Yeah.
You know?
I think hogwash. And
it's bushwah, I tell you. So anyway,
unless he can, like, scientifically or quantum mechanically calculate.
Oh, don't even talk about quantum mechanics and these.
Well, that's what they claim. Quantum mechanics, you know, just the decision or thought process will change something, whatever, dimensionally.
Yeah, they get into that too.
Yeah, if he can mathematically do that and it's supported by a bunch of universities, then maybe. But
it doesn't even have to be supported by a university. Just come up with a claim, come up with a prediction based on that claim, based on your understanding of what's going on. Okay, and then run an experiment. And if the prediction comes true, then you may be onto something. And then what you do is you publish your findings after you're really friggin' sure what you're doing. You publish it in a science journal and invite other labs to use whatever setup that you did to try to confirm your results. You know.
And did he try that or no?
No. One of the main problems that the scientific community has with this joker is he refuses to let anyone know what apparatus he's using to flash freeze. And, you know, he doesn't let anyone in on the experimental process.
Of course.
Because he's got, you know...
lacing the water.
Well, he's doping the water with the midichlorians. The problem is he wants to be taken serious by the scientific community at the same time removing himself from the scientific community by, you know, not sharing his findings or not sharing at least... how he did it. So it just seems like it's more of a magic trick than actual science. If you look at this guy's credentials, it's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned he won like the Nobel Prize.
Oh no. That's Kurt.
Right.
That's something funny about these bunk shows that they they have, you know, new age music and fantastic cinematography and you know, it's in all that jazz again. Yeah. And then they get somebody who has like a real background and understanding in it to basically give them a couple of sound bites just to cover the scientific aspect. Yeah. But Kurt Woolrich says, well, he didn't really say anything accurate. Come to think of it, he didn't say anything of substance at all. He just sort of says, oh, water is interesting. It's got some unique properties that you don't find in any other liquid. And that's it.
Of course,
you know, and then I'm pretty sure that if you watch the full like 2 hour, hour and a half video, he probably went into detail, but they cherry picked what he said and came up with the most vague understanding of the
liquid. Your life energy. If you don't drink water, you die.
That's exactly about it. That's your life energy. Right
that's your life energy.
No, yeah. but this dude Emoto, his background is he graduated from the Yokohama Municipal University as international relations. You know, so he's a diplomat.
Okay,
right. Wow. Like that's his credentials. And then he went on to get a doctor of alternative medicine from the Open International University for Alternative Medicine in India, okay, which is a completely unaccredited, it's even unaccredited in India, an institute with minimal academic requirements. You know, it's like,
karma.
Yeah.
It's karma energy.
Yeah, like I know a guy who went online and actually became a member of the clergy just by sending in a driver's license and, hey, this is me. They said, okay, cool. After we steal your identity, here's your fake papers. And so you can do pretty much anything. You can get a degree for anything.
Because he was a diplomat, though, he has scientific claim on being a water thing.
He's got nothing. And the alternative medicine thing is just it's homeopathy. Yeah. So he's like... Yeah, exactly. So his whole thing is, you know...
Let's fly him in.
Who, Emoto?
Yeah,
absolutely. Just so I can kick him in the ass. I don't know that I'd be able to talk to this guy because, you know what?
You'd lose it.
Yeah, I would lose it. I'd be like, hey, how's it going? And then he'd answer me, and I can't f***ing listen to you at all. It's not going to...
I wonder if he has a business. Ass. Does he have a business?
Yeah, he's peddling the schlock.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you can check out...
$99.99? For a bottle of water.
It's for the secrets of the universe. It's for this this water movie. But he also gets funding for his independent lab in Japan or whatever.
Oh.
You know, like the whole thing is geared toward like it seems like a motivation. You know, it's all profit. Yeah. You know, it's nothing about how he's enriching mankind. It's more of a hey, here's something completely false to invest your money in so that I can buy a new boat.
Yeah. And you know what? There are people out there that will believe this stuff, and most people will not. So,
well, no, I can't even say that most people won't.
Actually, I wouldn't say that. There are a lot of gullible people out there.
Yes.
Yeah. And well,
look at Sam Wow. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't work any better than a towel, people, unless you're trying to clean prostitutes.
Shame's been around forever. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. But, you know, but basically what I'm saying is a lot of, you know, what kind of got me into, like, I always thought TV was really cool, you know, back in the 90s and when these Discover channels and TLC and stuff started coming out, these specialty channels, yeah, with shows that I like to watch, you know, it was really cool.
Yeah.
But after a while, I noticed that a lot of the shows that they were putting on are kind of fluff and they're a little bit repetitive and they're trying to fill an hour by repeating something over and over and over again. And what bothers me about that is I could read in one paragraph the amount of information that's presented in a multi-$1,000 production on TLC. And then the fact that it looks so good, it looks so convincing.
Yeah. The thing
if this is what you're basing your education on, you have no choice but to believe it.
It's a sham. It's no better than the, you know, the after midnight infomercial stuff that this guy is selling. It's like, pay this much money and you can learn the secrets of water and life energy and stuff like that. That's all. That's
yeah, really like is. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I mean,
maybe it has
worn every minute. I mean, yeah. Seriously, if somebody, there will be people to buy this.
It'd be interesting to find out if he actually made millions off this.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just the production quality of the video alone is, you know, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Where can we find this?
Show notes.
Yeah, yeah. I have a look at IMDb, and I'm sure you can probably find it on iTunes or some garbage. I don't know.
Okay.
If you're really interested in seeing the whole thing, just BitTorrent it. Don't give these people
where
money.
Where do I buy this?
Yeah, BitTorrent it. You know, you got to take money out of these people's pockets. And
a BitTorrent's legal.
Everyone knows about it. So anyway, that's water, the miracle liquid.
I'm sold.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Luke were here, he'd be talking about Arduino boards and robots that make themselves.
That you will create in the future. Luke will hopefully be with us next week. Some travel issues delayed him from being here. He will be a weekly guest via Skype from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. Yeah. We are going national.
Yeah, we're going. I guess we're going
CBC Watch
semi-national.
Out. We may even have some folks from BC. We're talking with a couple of folks.
Who's from BC?
Bill Matthews. Bill Matthews. Maybe
Bill Matthews. Want to get on this?
Yes, maybe.
Okay.
And Rod Brotherby, who's local here, but
who was a big skeptic in the budding young metropolis of Charlottetown PEI. So it'd be really interesting to sort of get him in here and figure out, you know, are we doing this right?
We probably aren't.
We probably aren't. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Oh, by the way, guys, feel free to make comments on the website.
So, also, if you know of any events around town, scientific events, you know, astronomy clubs, what have you, please send it in.
Yeah, send it in. You can
Toronto area.
Toronto area. Yeah, Toronto area. You know, we don't have a budget for major travel yet.
Yes.
If you want to contact us for any reason, you can reach us at info@nutshellonline.com. If you've been to the website, obviously you have been because you're listening to this. It's just nutshellonline, all one word, .com. And that about wraps it up for this first inaugural podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. And this is Jason.
This is Dave Noel.
And this is Tony.
Join us, I guess, in about 2 weeks. We'll be doing this again, write a few more articles, and hopefully I'll get the CSS figured out on the website for all browsers, not just Safari and Firefox. I.e., I hate you, but I will be endeavoring to make the podcast website a little more stable for you IE users out there. And if you are using IE, switch to Firefox, for frig's sakes.